Thanks for waiting for me, I appreciate that.
Okay, a call to order, the Public Safety Committee meeting for Junction City. Tuesday, April 17th, 2018, at 6:34. Approval of minutes.
Approved minutes.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
It looked good to me as well.
Yeah, okay.
Just trying to find something to write with.
Oh, I have a pen.
Okay, and we do need to have a change to the agenda, so. Did you want to do that first, Chief?
No, we can do that last.
After the, okay. All right. So e-citation grant.
Okay, so this is a grant that we applied for a number of months ago and were ultimately awarded. E-citations, as you saw in the information, is basically just an automated way of issuing citations. Instead of actually handwriting the data from the driver's licenses, you simply scan the driver's license with the barcode. It populates the data on the screen. When you run the license plate of the car, it takes the data that comes back from the return and automatically populates all the vehicle information into the citation. Mm-hmm. Depending on how it's set up, it can actually grab the GPS location from where you're sitting and it'll automatically populate the intersection. Which isn't necessarily real accurate because the offense occurs back here and I may stop at a half a mile from where I'm at, so that's not necessarily what I would say a real protective feature. Then the officer simply goes through on the screen, picks the correct ORS, and the correct violations and other stuff, and checks the box. It automatically auto-populates the fine. It will pick a court date for you, so there's no citing in the wrong into the wrong date or into the wrong court. And basically it just speeds up the citation process. They have handheld units, which is what we would put on the motorcycles. Mm-hmm. And then the other units are based on the MDTs in the cars, and the MDT just swings out so you can actually do the citations from the passenger side of the car.
What's an MDT?
Computer.
Okay.
So that way they can stand from the passenger side,
yeah,
and do it so they're not...
Not on street side.
Okay.
That you can do it from wherever, but
okay,
but the safest thing is to do it from
passenger.
From the passenger,
okay,
side. Speeds it up. The city's required to have a $35,000 match, $35,400 match, but I was able to satisfy that matching requirement based on the cost of the patrol cars and the cost of the motorcycles that I purchased last year. And so we'll be able to, we're leveraging the money. And also by leveraging that money, we actually got more money. The original grant was put in for 40 some thousand dollars, but because the amount of the money that I'd spent on the car and on the motorcycles, and actually it was the two motorcycles that actually jumped it, it got us another 20 some thousand dollars from what was originally submitted. So the total grant, $66,000. Only drawback is we have to expend the money first and then put in for reimbursement. ODOT says it's a very, very short period of time, literally a matter of weeks. They obviously aren't going to put that, guarantee that, but they said just a matter of weeks or days by the time they process it.
So we have to extend the $35,400?
No, we have to do $66,000.
Oh, okay.
We have to spend the $66,000 with the company, pay the company for the $66,000, and then we submit the receipts to ODOT saying that they have been installed in the vehicles.
And then it's fully covered instead of taking out the $35,400, which we would have had to match if we didn't have the
correct
cars. Okay,
correct.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the total cost is about $100,000, roughly, and we got $35,000 of it waived because of what we'd already expended on the cars. And then again, the motorcycles, the two motorcycles is what not only got us to satisfy that, but what got us an additional 20 some thousand dollars from what the grant was, if I remember right. So we were able to leverage that.
That's great.
Any questions?
I just don't want to see it used.
I knew at least, right?
So we have our options?
Yeah, we just need to.
I recommend the city council authorize Chief Morris to sign the necessary documents to purchase the 100% grant-funded e-citations equipment and software from Advanced Public Safety, ATS.
I second that.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Opposed? Cool. Yep.
That's great.
Again, that really becomes a no-brainer because we're getting all the.
Right.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And the timing is good because we can install all the wiring and a couple of these wires on the floor actually are for that equipment. So that's, that works out good.
Wow.
That's half the wiring for the patrol, for one of the patrol cars.
Okay. So you're gonna install like cabling in the patrol car?
Yeah. The cabling that goes in the cars is nearly a quarter mile of cabling.
Wow.
That's just the cable that goes down, each one is a car. That's the cabling that just goes down the driver's side of the car, and then there's a like amount of cable that goes down the passenger side, there's a like amount that goes down the driver's side.
So who's gonna pull the cable?
That's where we've got our people installing it, and somebody up at one of the install shops is helping us, so we're doing it. It's a combined effort.
That's the sort of thing I did on submarine back in. Well, a lot more.
Like all these wires.
Well, I was younger and I was energetic.
Okay.
Okay, and then they.
Okay, so the change to the agenda was something that just came up. We are in the process of we will be working with our new building inspector to get the plans approved for us moving our patrol room into the new building. And new building inspector comes on the end of the month, so I would hope that we would have an approval by the 15th of the month, which means we're basically at the contractor's mercy, the guy that's donating his time to do it, and then just getting the materials. So within a relatively short period of time, we're going to be moving the patrol room from where it currently is into the new building. As soon as that patrol room is vacated, we're going to be moving dispatch from its current location into the patrol room.
And then more room?
I'm sorry?
Do they get more room?
Probably triple the room.
Perfect.
And it gives a lot more room. It allows us to put four stations in there instead of three. And just all the way around, it's a better deal.
Okay.
What that does is leave the front counter where people or citizens walk in unmanned. There's nobody out there because dispatch will no longer be out there at that window. So, what I want to do is add an admin assistant position that would serve the purpose of answering, you know, counter contacts, and would be providing a variety of administrative functions for the department that are now done by either dispatchers, or they're done by sergeants, or they're done by me. So this would be a multi-use position and would be able to take a lot of the administrative stuff that I am doing, that the sergeants are doing, that dispatchers are doing, and condense it into one person who is also answering the counter and providing public relations to people that come in the front counter. None of what I am about to propose in any way impacts the current budget as we have submitted it. So before I go on, I'm trying to compartmentalize this as much as I possibly can. So what we're doing does not in any way impact the budget as it is proposed. Okay? Right now, the SRO position is about $112,000, and the school district is kicking in, can't write, $20,000 toward that.
That's all?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That takes us down to 92,000. Okay. Next year, at the end of June 30th, if not maybe sooner, Ken Jackson is going to be retiring. I've worked out a deal with the school that Ken Jackson could come back and work basically half to three quarter time in the school The school is going to pick up $40,000 of that amount. Last I heard, I haven't gotten a definitive approval from the school, but the intent is the school will pick up $40,000 of that, which will pay his salary in its entirety for the amount of time that he would be in the school. You follow?
I think so.
Okay, so right now we're paying Ken Jackson's salary, which is basically $112,000. School's subsidizing 20 of that, leaving us, the city, bearing the cost of $92,000. Okay. The school, under this new plan, would kick in $40,000, which would put Ken Jackson in the school half to three-quarter time. The only time he would be there is during school hours and when they wanted him. But that $40,000 would cover his cost in its entirety. The police department would be paying zero.
What's his status with the police department?
He has to be an employee of the police department because the school district has no law enforcement authority.
Okay.
So he's still part of the police department.
I think that shows a lot of good support from the school district.
Yeah. That's not going to affect the amount of officers that we have on staff.
No. This position here, Ken Jackson is topped out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ken Jackson is topped out. I'm going to take this position. Well, sort of. I'm going to retract what I just said to you.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Jackson is going to be a point, for explanation purposes, a .5 FTE. So instead of having 10, we would have 10 and a half. But we're not paying for that half position.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it affects us, but and the only thing that he would be being used for would be for the school.
Mm-hmm.
If we had to pull him out, if we had a mass shooting or something else, then we would work out some kind of a reimbursement thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where we would pay him directly out of overtime funds or something else. Okay. So he is at top step. Whoever we would put into this other position, the position that is now being vacated by Ken Jackson, will be at a lower pay range. So the $20,000 deficit may actually turn into a positive figure, depending on if we have a brand new recruit that we put into that slot.
Mm-hmm.
So the $92,000 that we're paying now, which are roll-up costs,
mm-hmm.
is your salary and all your roll-up costs, would actually potentially be less than that amount.
Right.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This position would be dedicated entirely to traffic enforcement, which is something that we have been screaming for.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And should conceivably be self-funding within a relatively short period of time. Because if all they're doing 8 hours a day is nothing but traffic enforcement, then that helps support that. Because it would go to the court, and then indirectly we would get different funding from the court.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do is take $46,000 of this money, $46,000 of this $92,000,
mm-hmm.
and divert it over to an administrative specialist position that would be the front counter receptionist, potentially could do evidence. We'd potentially do a lot of administrative functions that we're paying dispatchers extra for now. We're paying one dispatcher $100 a month for evidence function. We could save that $100 a month, and that would help fund this position. Leaving, again, for simple math, assuming we stayed at the $92,000 roll-up cost, leaving a deficit of $42,000, which I am fairly confident would be covered through self-generated revenue from citations issued. And we're also going to start, we're going to send whoever the traffic person is off to get certified to do commercial vehicle inspections. And the citations for commercial vehicle inspections are significant because of the amount of damage that they do to our roads. So for overweight vehicles, and that type of stuff, and safety violations, where the brakes are bad, or there's hose connections, two brakes that are bad, that type of thing. So this $42,000, once we get up and running, based on the relationship between the courts and the fines, should come back to us and should just about fund this position. And this was already compensated for in our budget, just in a different way. We're allocating it a little bit differently. So it doesn't change the actual budget that was submitted. So what I would be looking for is, if you guys concur, is a direction to me to develop a position description for this admin assistant position that I could bring to the council for full approval at the next regular scheduled council meeting in May.
Okay, a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
Duties and what training would be necessary?
Evidence, if we actually do the evidence, that would be like a week-long school. The duties are going to be records. They're going to be administrative functions, dealing with accreditation. We're an accredited agency, which you know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So we're an accredited agency, so that person would be the accreditation manager. It would be record management. It would be training records.
Police officer training records?
Yes. Which right now we've got sergeants and myself that are doing that, and that is not a function that we should be doing. Mm-hmm. This is an administrative function that we should not be doing, which if we can do that, would be out. That person would also serve as a project manager for special projects that we're doing. A very generalized and broad position description and duties.
Okay. Would they be doing fingerprints? Do we do ink, or do we use computers?
Right now we're using, we do both. We've got an APHIS machine. Okay. We're applying for a grant for a brand new one.
All right.
Would this position possibly roll up into training into a dispatcher, or is this just strictly admin?
This position will be an admin position.
Okay.
If the person that was in that position ever had the aspiration to go into law enforcement,
this would be a great
or to go
stone.
Into dispatch would be a very idealistic stepping stone.
Perfect. I like that.
And that gives us a chance to get to know the person.
Yeah.
And it gets them familiar with the department and the people within the department familiar with them. And
I think it's great to, you know, kind of build up your bench.
Correct.
If you can.
Exactly.
Get somebody in and start to grow them and get to know the culture and then move them forward.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, second question. Who's going to pay benefits for the SRO? Mm-hmm. Well, not the SRO.
There will be no benefit.
Is he going to pay his own?
In the school?
Yeah.
He's retired at that point. So
if he's work back, we still have to pay some.
No.
None?
None. Zero. The school.
I don't know how that's different. My sister works back at the college in Cave Falls.
Okay.
And there is a cost for PERS for her, because she's continuing on that. And for her
benefits?
In case she gets hurt on the job. You know, what do you call it?
Worker comp.
Yeah, work comp.
There would be a very small, I mean, dollars workers' comp fee, but as far as Blue Cross, you know, health insurance, dental insurance, life insurance, all of that, that goes away the minute he retires. So okay. Anybody that works back in a law enforcement position, and that may be the difference. When you work back, if you go back to work for a city of less than $15,000 or less, you can retire on Friday and come back to work on Monday and completely double dip. But what goes away are your benefits.
Right.
And unless you negotiate something different with the employer. And in discussions with Ken, he has insurance through his wife, so this is a non-issue.
Okay. Because, you know, like Mr. Rosenberger, he works by, and he made a different deal than the guy that works in the office. The cost of the school is different to employees.
Yeah. No, this is...
As with my sister, she pays X number of dollars to school.
Right.
Or matches or something, so that she still has that.
So I guess the one thing that just comes to my mind is, I really think that's a good idea to kind of build your bench, like I said. I think that's a great way to start and have somebody take on new positions so that it's not on you and the sergeants. Do you think that we're kind of hoping that this new traffic enforcement officer would be able to revenue or bring in $50,000 in revenue, and you think that that's possible?
I think that that's very realistic. It may take a little while, depending if we end up hiring a recruit as opposed to somebody new. I mean, obviously you've got a train-up time. But based on other programs, the Washington County Sheriff's Office traffic team is entirely self-funded.
Oh, okay.
They are entirely self-funded.
And this would be, this salary is not a recruit salary or a new.
Correct.
So that we're going off of Officer Jackson's salary.
Yes, we're going off of current. So yeah. If I bring that down, then that dollar amount goes down as well. And that's what I was saying, that that I'm basing this off of $92,000. It actually, the salary potentially would be less.
Okay.
Because we're not going to get somebody that we're going to bring in at top staff. Gotcha. I would like to. I would love to, but the reality is that
it's
we're not
going
to.
Happen. Okay.
Okay, we're not going to pull a Coburg, are we?
What's a Coburg?
They were funding their traffic.
No.
Very much so. And the people, they were working I-5.
They were working I-5, the freeway.
The city of Coburg, they had like 15 motorcycles, and they were doing stuff that was just insane. And
oh, because you couldn't drive through without getting pulled over.
They were on I-5.
I mean,
you couldn't. Yeah. And they had a ridiculous number of motorcycles and a ridiculous number of officers.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to do is focus on the traffic, the people blowing the red lights, and the people speeding. That's why we had the traffic lights change. I don't know if you noticed that, Jack, but they put those in Sunday.
Yeah.
Did you see at 6 and the 10th? Did you see those? So we've got the, like I was talking about the council meeting, they actually got those two intersections done with the tattletale lights on it, and it'll enable us just to address what all of the citizens are screaming for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the fatal traffic accidents are a stark realization of what we need, which we don't have.
I would say, especially on Highway 99, outside of town, as soon as you get out, there's just so many accidents on Highway 99.
Yeah.
Once you pass Guarantee.
And I understand some of them. People changing lanes and running head on into other people out there.
And pulling out from, you know, like that CarQuest corner, that the where there's four lanes, I think it's people driving just too fast, so, yeah.
Yeah, we had a young lady that worked at Subway was killed at that corner. Mm-hmm. Her last name was Reyes.
What corner?
CarQuest.
Oh, really?
She was parked there waiting to come out. The guy ran off the road, put a motorhome and ran over top of her, killed her. That was several years ago. That hurt. The road at the school, at the hospital was named after her.
Okay.
Was there a consensus to take this to council?
Yeah, okay. I think so. I think that was just would be my main question. To making sure that revenue is hit, and it sounds like 50 is the maximum, and you feel confident that could happen. So it may even be less than that because we won't get somebody.
And again, I'm sitting here. I'm giving you my best estimate,
right.
Based on other agencies, based on what people are generating. I'm giving you my very best estimate, which is what our budgets are based on. They're based on estimated actuals, and that is our best guess. To steal your thing in the window in the snapshot of time.
I think the most important part is. Oh, sorry, I didn't want to talk.
If the chair pleases, I think I can offer a comment as how that would be budgeted.
Yep.
Just hearing this for the first time, and I think it would address the concerns about being covered on that, because we couldn't or wouldn't fund the. These just budget comments because I don't want to deliberate on the issue itself, because four of us, if one is the council president, is a council meeting.
Yeah.
Under our charter.
Yeah.
Even though it takes four plus the mayor.
Right.
Because I have a vote.
Did you want to join us as well? Come on up.
But I think I can offer some useful comments on the budget. So what we would have to do budgetarily to fund the rest of that position is redirect general fund money to the police department. In other words, take a percentage of the court's bucket and redirect it to the PD, because the tickets have to go into court. They can't, they have to go into the general fund. They can't go directly into the police department.
Right, exactly.
That's how you avoid that kind of scenario. In fact, the legislature had to meet specifically or deliberate.
To deal with COVID.
To deal with COVID. So the tickets would not, there'd be a lot of oversight and safeguards as far as writing tickets. They wouldn't go straight. You know,
right.
You're like, oh man, I want to buy this next
new
month.
Car.
Get out there, you guys. So it'd be kind of a time lag thing. From what I understand, from what you said, that this amount of money is already in the budget, so the budget committee wouldn't have to deliberate this.
Correct.
This would actually, as far as the snapshot in time, this would actually cut in with the council.
Correct.
You know, where the council could make these adjustments in the adopted budget.
Correct.
But not the approved budget.
Correct.
Which is at the budget committee level.
Correct.
So we don't have to hash this out in at the budget committee. So that's all. I just thought that might be helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, the full amount of the ticket doesn't come to the city anyway.
Correct, because you've got the state gets their portion. And
yeah, it would all go through the court side of the general fund and be processed that way.
That's one of the things that Judge Loomis and I talked about it during several sessions when we were dealing with the parole probation officer thing, was trying to get money. And one of the ways we were talking about, well, get a little extra revenue from that, maybe we can help pay, you know, instead of
right.
A 0.8 or whatever Kylie
thank
was
you.
Working.
Thank
you.
You're
good.
Have a seat. You're good. Stay with us.
That's another business on juvenile blankets. Yeah, I'm not, and for the record, that shouldn't be taken as an up or down on the proposal.
Right. Right.
I'm not deliberating on that.
Right.
Just offering budget background.
I think it's a good idea.
So we
I'm really excited that we get to keep an SRO. I just want to,
yeah.
You know, I think that's great that the school has really given that much support towards you and your officers to say it means a lot to us, so we want to continue to have
right.
one. I think that's amazing. It just goes to show the work you guys have done. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So we got a consensus to send this to the council.
So I'll come up with a position description and bring it to the council for approval.
Great.
Sounds good.
Cool. Right.
Thank you.
Anything else for me?
Budget?
Yeah. No. Or anything else?
Are we at other business?
Not quite yet. We'll get there. Let's do agenda forecaster first, mm-hmm. and then we'll.
And that's going to change. It's just talking about incentives for police officers.
Nothing else is new. All right, now we go other business.
Okay, something I've been nagging the chief about, and I thought I'd propose between this committee and the Finance and Judiciary Committee, which I'm the chair of, is that maybe looking forward, maybe the two committees can work together on an approach to the number two problem I hear from citizens. Number one's traffic right now, mm-hmm. I think. And the other one is some of our, can we say juveniles anymore? Is that
yes,
the right word?
That's appropriate.
Some of our juvenile folks who are making life a little too interesting in certain neighborhoods, particularly in the Laurel Park area.
Have you seen the car that's been up there?
Yeah, I saw that last night. Yeah.
Where's the Laurel Park area? I'm sorry.
Pool.
Skate park.
Okay.
Toftdahl Skate mm-hmm. Park, Ophelia's Place now, which adds another issue. Mm-hmm. They've had some concerns about the motivations of middle school age girls to walk through that gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the, oddly enough, it's a lot of it's kind of the preteen or early teen boys mm. that just run around on bikes and are too young to understand sexual harassment law.
Mm-hmm.
And think they're funny and stuff. So, and I've heard stuff from adults who don't like to walk in those after-school hours when some kids are in attendance, you know, when mom's at work.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard a report about your kids.
Thank you. I'm not allowed to be.
I know they wouldn't dare.
No.
So, so I just thought, I know our new judge is interested in kind of the teen court and some mm-hmm. issues like that. And, you know, when we had her talk to F&amp;J, Finance and Judiciary, and Sandra, the court clerk, was there. It was kind of interesting, some of the things that came out in that long conversation. One was the fact that we apparently haven't enforced or cited curfew violations or things like that for years.
Right.
You know, so definitely there, just like traffic, you know, if there's no consequence for a few years, you know, behaviors tend to ramp up. I think we're kind of seeing the same thing with certain groups of juveniles. And that's kind of the epicenter there around the pool. And you may have seen some stuff in the summer, but I try to walk or ride a bike within town if I have time, not tonight, but or if it's really raining hard, I'll try. But I've seen some pretty crazy things in the summer, even around the time the pool's closing and after 10 o'clock, which is after the curfew, and kids still hanging around. It's kind of odd because normally you expect to see the older teens being a problem, you know. And as a couple of people who were in charge of older teens when we were just a few years older than they were, you know, that's kind of what I'm prepared for. But there's kind of this phenomenon where it's these younger kids who, it's almost like they haven't been punched by one of their peers yet, you know, to knock it off. They've kind of got this invulnerability thing going. Or their mommy's precious angel still. So there's a lack of awareness. It almost seems like there might be an education piece.
Well, one thing is, in my day, and not till my age, corporal punishment was used in schools. And when I lived in a little town, I had 8 mothers. Beach house up the road. If they caught us doing something, they got a knot on the head, and then they told my mom. So I got twice. So it was incentive not to let them catch us, right? I won't say not do it, but not get caught.
Well, the interesting thing is a lot of these kids, you know, 11, 12-year-old will quote their version of law to you. If one of the other mothers did that these days, they might probably end up in trouble, which is, you know, a big change from when I was a kid.
Yeah, the niece tried that in Lake Oswego, and my sister-in-law said, okay, from now on, you're wearing Converse, just regular jeans, no designer stuff. And it changed the whole bunch in about a month.
That's pretty effective. So anyway, I was just wanted to throw out that maybe the two committees could kind of slowly start working in this direction. I know it's not the number one issue you're dealing with right now, but I think it's a big quality of life and concern issue. And because the
I was going to say, is Officer Jackson at the school after school right now? Is
no.
he?
He's done about 3:30.
He's
on his way.
Yeah, I was thinking. I wonder.
And I think it's like 3:30 to 5:30.
Yeah.
Between school out and parents getting
six,
home.
3 to 6 is what Ophelia's place runs.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, and I mentioned it to the chief, maybe there's a way, once the SRO thing is settled, that we can throw a little extra money in the pot, and if Ken or wants to work in the summer a little bit, and just kind of be our, you know, interface with kids and, you know, kind of patrol that kind of area. And there's other areas in town, too.
Well, he's more knowledgeable. Kids anyway, because they worked with them at school. I know Mike Bonner was an SRO before, and kids gravitate to someone that cares about them, and Dr. Jackson really gives that out to kids. They realize that he cares about them and, you know, what goes on, because if he didn't, the kids would sense it right quick. They wouldn't take any time at all for that. We need, if he's retiring, then we got to get another one.
Maybe somebody too that is not Officer Jackson? I'm just thinking devil's advocate on this, that somebody that they're not used to seeing, and maybe they don't have the relationship that says, hey, cut it out now. And it's all of a sudden like, oh, this is not Officer Jackson, this is somebody else. I cannot, I don't know if that makes a difference, but my thought was, is like that quick shock factor.
And what I'm also looking for is I'm looking for somebody who, in light of him retiring, I mean, even if he does come back this year or next year, I'm looking for somebody that would be retired from an SRO that's retired from another agency that would like to get some extra money. And this thing at the schools, that $40,000, that's a nice little thing where they can set their own hours and they're not working full time and they're just limited to the schools. And if we can get an SRO from another district, another agency, that would be phenomenal.
They might be able to just help us with that area.
There's an article on the news about the number of officers that are retiring.
Oh, yeah.
The replacement is, it's worse than being in the Army and trying to get new recruits.
Generational thing. I know that, you know, in the past we've had an SCOP kind of program, you know, which may come into play too, which is basically someone has a shirt on with a patch and a radio, so there's some authority there, and they don't have to necessarily go out and duke it out with somebody, but they can call in an officer. They can say to the kid, hey, knock it off, you know.
I do know too, just from Junction City Athletics, because we're in the same building as Ophelia's, that our door handles have been broken, our locks have been jammed. I mean, just everything you can imagine. I go down there to get equipment, and there's kids that are sleeping in there, and there's a lot of them. And so it makes me almost feel uncomfortable because I'm pulling in by myself.
Yeah, even if they're small, there's
you know, It is, right, yeah, and they might be 13 or 14-year-old kids sitting in there, but you don't know what's going on, and I'm just pulling in by myself to walk in there, so, but our handles have been broken off, just continuous.
Now, where is this?
At, just right on the
other side. In town here?
Yeah, right next to Ophelia's place.
You're using that building, Columbia Bank is?
No, Junction City Athletics.
Okay, I'm thinking bank, and I'm going,
I know. The other side, so we do all of our stuff, you know, just in our free time, so it might be 7 o'clock at night that I get out of here, I go down there by myself to go do stuff, and I'm like, oh, there's a bunch of kids down here. Which it's okay, because that's what it's meant for, but you want kids that are being good kids and not kids that are cussing or screaming and, you know, doing different things. So there's definitely times we've had to come out from JCA meetings and tell them, like, you guys can't stand out here and be cussing and slamming things against the wall while we're meeting. Respect is not there all the time.
Well, because the culture has changed and adults can't just go put a knot in a kid's ear without lawyers coming out of the woodwork.
Right. You have to ask politely to say, please stop using foul language.
Make a better choice.
Right.
And rightly so, for the record.
Right.
Shame for the all those violent adults.
Oh, I'll survive.
It's probably going to take a more comprehensive approach. I know the judge is really into
the peer truancy, the juvenile,
and truancy issues too, which the school hasn't really had a organized approach to that for years.
But it's the truancy, not the kid's fault. It's the parent's fault.
Well, comprehensive approach.
Both parents are, you know, busting their hump to make money to pay for their kids and their whatever. And it's sort of like the World War II, you know, the latchkey kids that they had back in that day. It's still here, and it's been that way for several decades now, where people have to have two jobs.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's the same person, but most of the time it's a husband or wife.
Well, just like with traffic, you know, there's a balance of consequence and also helpful community policing, you know. But right now with the kids, they seem pretty sure that there is no consequence.
Right.
You know, that's partly parents, that's partly the schools, that's partly us. So, you know, if this committee is interested in kind of having that conversation with the F&J, you know, and the council too, and just kind of thinking of ways to move it forward.
So I'll put that on the agenda, Perkaster.
Yeah.
And we'll get it on the, well, we were already talking about to some degree, but we'll get it on the I think we'll get it on the FNJ forecast.
I'll do it there. I'll be there.
Yeah, so I appreciate that. I know what's kind of brought it to my attention is, well, first the skate park went in just a few years ago, and, which has helped with behaviors downtown, because that used to be the skate park. And Ophelia's place has kind of brought it to the fore, too. And I know that some parents have expressed concern, well, this is great, but I don't know if my daughter walking from Oakley.
Right.
Understandable.
Through that gauntlet. And the, and there might be some mean girls, too, involved, and not just picking on the boys, but.
Yeah.
We all have work. So I know that, it's one more story. I know they put out a sign and the pinwheels for bullying and stuff, and those were gone within a day.
Yeah.
And the sign was broken.
Yeah.
And the lock that was put on the dumpster after they moved in was torn off within a few days. So and you went over and saw the camera that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Do you have anything to share?
No, I don't.
Oh, you're just here to watch. Well, that's nice.
One other thing is the suicide thing that we have coming up here pretty soon. I mentioned the other night, I had a long conversation with my granddaughter last night. She's still having some problems with it. And but she also told me last night that she wasn't going to put up with it anymore, that when she graduates from high school, which is only a couple of years away, she's going to join the Marine Corps. That is, I don't understand that at all.
That's crazy.
Her brother, but we're, not her. She's a flyer, cheerleaders and stuff like that. And she's been bouncing around as a dancer since she was, you know, this tall. And she told her mother that, and then she told me that. I said, well, why Marines? Well, my cousin was a Marine. I said, yeah, and your great-grandfather was a Marine. But that doesn't mean you have to. I says, if you want to do something like that for your own safety, there are several other services you could join. She said, well, why is that? I said, every Marine is an infantryman. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have anything to do with gender. If you're a Marine, you're an infantryman. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a computer technician.
Right.
Your first job is being an infantryman. Grab your weapon and go fight the bad guy or the bad girl. So we'll see, you know, she's young.
You have so much credibility since you went in when you were 17, too.
Yeah, that's true. But not only that, I mean, she's going to graduate. I want her to go to college like her brother. But these kids surprise you with what they're thinking about, you know. My grandson is getting ready to go to Europe, and he's going to pay for that, he says. We'll find out. I mean, he's got a chunk of change set aside. But I said, you know, the Uncle Sam would send you over there. Not necessarily that place you want to go, but
right.
Let's say would pay your schooling. And he said, no, I don't want to be indebted to anybody. He lost his dad 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So he's been the man of the family ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got some weird ideas. I mean, that's good.
Right.
I wanted to be doing the same things I did. I left home because I was the oldest of eight, and I went in my own space. And after they did that, they sent me 40 miles.
And you realized you didn't have any of your own space?
Oh, yeah, I had less.
You were sharing it with everybody, weren't you?
Yeah. But my first duty assignment was about 40 miles from home, so I really didn't.
Any other business?
Cool.
All right. We're adjourned at 7:17.
Brennan High School, who joined the Marines because he said he was terrible.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for joining us.